Good morning.
Good morning.
Please stand in body or in spirit. Come, people of God, before us is the choice of life and death, blessing and curse.
We choose life, for the Lord is our refuge and our strength.
We come like trees planted by streams of water, delighting in God's word, bearing fruit in due season.
We gather as one family in Christ, no longer strangers, no longer divided, but reconciled in love.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination of our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Direct us, Lord God, in all our doings, with your continued help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, bring us everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading this morning is from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 1 responsively with me. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seats of scoffers. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield in their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper.
We are not so, but our path has been driven.
Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For
The second reading is from Philemon, number 1 through 21. Salutation, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Acrippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon's love and faith. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this my own hand, and I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident of your obedience. I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. I'm not preaching on that. I'm just not. There's lots of ways to preach on that. First of all, children, I don't even know if you were listening. You don't get to just hate your father and your mother in order to follow Jesus. That is just not, you can't do that. That is not what it means to follow Jesus, hating your parents. However, There is something in that, and we're not covering it today because there is something else that is much more interesting today. Be honest. When Kathy was reading the letter to Philemon, whose eyes glazed over? Who understands Paul? Like, really? Did anyone fall asleep while Kathy was? I did not. Kathy herself fell asleep while she was reading. But this is a really interesting letter, so that's going to be our sermon today. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is he a revolutionary apostle or is he a slave catcher? Anyone here ever thought of Paul as a slave catcher? Probably not, because you've never read the letter of Philemon, except for the every 3 years that it's read almost in its entirety here during worship. On the one hand, Paul does appear to send a slave, whose name is Onesimus, back to his master, Philemon. But I mean, how can this really be? That the great apostle Paul is a defender of slavery. So he's not just complicit in returning a slave, a runaway slave, but he upholds and participates in inhumane customs and traditions of the Roman economy, society, and culture. Is that our Apostle Paul? I mean, he's got lots of churches named after him, people. On the other hand, Paul envisions a new way of being, the way of Christ. He envisions a way in which Philemon might receive Onesimus back, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. So which is it, Paul? So this letter that Paul has written is about slavery. So shouldn't this just be a really short sermon for me? Look, slavery is bad. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God, right? Except it's about much more than slavery. It is written to Philemon. It's written to his wife, Apphia. It's written to some guy named Archippus. And it's written to Philemon's entire house church. Philemon is a wealthy man. He has come to faith in Jesus Christ through Paul, and now he has this church in his house, because that's how churches worked in the first days and years and decades of the Christian faith. But it's also kind of written to all Christians of all times and of all places, which kind of means it's written to us too. And though we no longer inhabit a culture whose way of being is dependent on slavery, and though we no longer accept slavery as the norm, this letter asks us, as it asks its original recipients, it asks, in what ways do we uphold and participate in inhumane customs and traditions of our economy, our society, and our culture? And if we believe that this world is not inhumane to some who live in it, we are lying to ourselves. Something important to understand about Paul's letter to Philemon is that this letter and most correspondence like it of this time and place is that it is not private. Someone like Kathy that can read Greek would have been handed this letter. Can you read Greek? No. But anyway, it's been translated for her. And she is handed this letter. This is an event. This is not a private letter sent from Paul to Philemon. It is an event. This letter is to be read to Philemon and to his entire house church all together. Philemon doesn't get a preview. It's read to everyone together. Something else to understand here. Paul, he has no official authority over Philemon. He's just the guy that introduced Philemon to Jesus Christ. But because he's the guy who introduced Philemon to Jesus Christ, he has authority when it comes to matters of faith. He is the teacher, and Philemon is certainly the pupil. Philemon, as I said, has come to faith in Jesus and is a leader of a house church because of Paul's missionary work and his church planting. So everyone who is hearing this letter, they know this. They understand this. And they know that Paul kind of is up here in a position of authority over Philemon. And Philemon, to be getting this letter out of the blue, not knowing what it might contain, and then to be read in front of everyone with him there, it might make him a bit nervous. It would make me nervous. But things, they start off great for Philemon, don't they? Grace and peace to you, says Paul. I have received much encouragement from your love, says Paul. Blah, blah, blah. This goes on for a full one quarter of this letter. And Philemon, he's got to be like, this is wonderful. This is great. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for telling all of these people here today how great I am. This is great. He's riding high. And now, with the groundwork laid, Paul is ready to begin the real work of the letter, the real reason for sending the letter. And because you are so great, Philemon, because you are so great, because you are one who has been so transformed in Christ, I am appealing to you to do your duty on the basis of love. Now, says Paul, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. I'm not above commanding you to do your duty, Philemon, but Philemon, I don't really need to command you, do I? Because in Christ you have been transformed, your heart has been transformed. I know you will do your duty on the basis of love. Won't you, Philemon? Huh? That was good use of authority, wasn't it? Paul has done a great job setting up Philemon. But what is this duty? Remember, this is being read in front of everyone. And I'm guessing at this point, Philemon's pretty nervous. He's like, please don't say Onesimus, please don't say. And then Paul says, you know Onesimus, right, Philemon? And Philemon, he just shrinks. He's like looking for the nearest exit. How can I get out of here? I am appealing to you for Onesimus, my child, whose father I have become during my time in prison. Oh, come on, Paul, your child, really? So Paul, he just continues to ratchet up the pressure from here. He says, I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced, right? And now we see how tough a spot Philemon is in. It's not like he can just tear up this letter. Kathy read this letter to everyone. He can't tear up this letter and throw it away. There is no going back. And he's sitting there thinking, he's like, wow, I hope that this letter isn't read for millennia and printed in billions upon billions of Bibles. He must either publicly reject what Paul has framed as Philemon's duty as one who has been transformed in Christ. He must either reject that, thereby rejecting Paul and Jesus, or he must accept a runaway slave back into his household. But not just as a slave, as a free man. Not just as a free man, but as a brother. This is a society where if your slave ran away, you could execute your slave. And he is supposed to accept him back as a brother. How will that look? How will Philemon, he will look weak. This is a powerful man, and Paul is asking him to look weak. How will this look in a society where slavery is, first of all, essential for commerce? And it is essential for keeping the social order. This is anarchy. that Paul is proposing, which is what makes it revolutionary. But this is not Paul's revolution. This is a revolution that began right there on the cross. This letter is revolutionary because it clearly names the implications of the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news of Jesus Christ, make no mistake about it, is revolutionary. The good news of Jesus Christ is revolutionary because it causes something to happen in this world, in the here and now. It causes a new way of being, a new way of living to break into this world, into the here and now, but not as a command, because commands don't work. As a freely given gift to this world. Paul continues, perhaps the reason that Onesimus was separated from you was so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, my dear Philemon, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So what's so important to understand about this letter? And what has given Paul black eyes for millennia when it comes to this letter is that he returns Onesimus without explicitly commanding Philemon to free him. Paul doesn't explicitly command Onesimus freedom. Rather, he helps Philemon see that he can't not free Onesimus. Not. And truly live out his Christian faith. Scholars Marcus Borg and John Crossan put it this way. Philemon must free Onesimus freely. Let me say that again. Philemon must free Onesimus freely. Philemon must free Onesimus freely as a result, as a work resulting from faith. Free Onesimus freely. As a work resulting from faith, and not as a work resulting from enforced obedience to Paul. Because enforced obedience doesn't work. Philemon's freeing of Onesimus must flow spontaneous. This is a very Lutheran statement, okay? Philemon's freeing of Onesimus, this is my statement, by the way, it must flow spontaneously and voluntarily, not as a response to Paul's command, because his heart has been transformed through faith in Jesus Christ. As baptized believers, our hearts have been transformed through faith in Jesus Christ. This is a revolutionary letter because it reveals what it looks like to live out the good news of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it is really hard to live out that good news because it means that you might just have to go against everything that your culture stands for. The good news is that a revolution is happening in the here and now, and that's good news because the here and now is broken. I don't think anyone here could argue with me on that. God's preferred future is breaking into the broken right now, and God is actively working to restore God's good creation and to reconcile all us broken people, and we are all broken, back to one another and to God. Right now. And we, like Paul, we, like Philemon, we, like Onesimus, we are invited to live out the good news of Jesus Christ, not as a response to God's command or Christ's command or Paul's command or your pastor's command or your father's command or your mother's command, but because you cannot be coerced to do these things. But as those whose hearts have been transformed through faith in Jesus Christ, that's what it means to take up your cross and follow Christ. This is what it means to live out the good news. My dear siblings in Christ, if you know it, you can say it with me. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, we recognize that we are not unlike Philemon. I wonder if the Apostle Paul were actually to write a letter to us. And then he were to slide it across the desk to Kathy and say, hey, read this to those folks at First Lutheran in Galleon, Ohio. What would it say? It would probably start off all nice, like, grace and peace to you, thank you for your love, and blah, 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 right? But what would it say after that? What is our slavery? To which long-forgotten and knowingly overlooked Christian duties will Paul point and say, you're not doing so great there. In what ways do we uphold and participate in humane customs and tradition of our economy, our society, and our culture, both here in America and as connected to a world that is getting smaller and smaller? I wonder, who is our Onesimus? Who are we called to freely free and welcome as fellow brothers and sisters and siblings in Christ? Who is it? I don't know. That would be an interesting letter, wouldn't it, Kathy? Would you like to read that in front of everyone? No, thank you. Yeah. Not sure any of us would want to hear it. God's new creation, it is breaking in. It is. That is good news. And we, the baptized, stand as those whose hearts have been transformed through faith in Jesus Christ. We, the baptized, stand as those whose hearts have been transformed through faith in Jesus Christ. Because then, because we have been transformed, it is no longer a question of will we participate in this revolutionary reordering of all creation that began when Jesus Christ rose from the grave. It is not a question of will we participate in this revolutionary reordering of creation, but how will we participate? How will we live into the good news of Jesus Christ? Just like Philemon, each of us has been freely freed through Christ and invited to live out our answer. You see, that's the thing. Philemon, he was not required to give an answer, but he knew the answer. What will be our answer? We are freely freed to live out our answer in this world right now, today. And this, my dear siblings in Christ, is the revolutionary good news of Jesus Christ. And it is for us, and it is for Philemon, it is for Onesimus, it is for all the enslaved, it is for all our siblings in Christ, and it is for all of creation. Amen.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Every Sunday, when I say the Apostles' Creed twice, when I am at St. Paul, it's written, descended to the dead. I say, descended into hell. And here it's written, descended into hell. And I say, descended to the dead. I switch it every Sunday. And it's written there for me. Anyway, are there additional prayers this morning?
For Betty.
For Betty. Betty Sargle, right? Harvey. I have to apologize to Keith, and I'm calling him out. Keith had a procedure this week. He's doing great, it seems, so far. I was supposed to add him to the prayer list, and I did not, and we will pray for Keith. And also, we will be praying for Rhett Cecil. You know him?
Yeah,
okay. And Amanda Wood Cecil, Dr. Amanda Wood Cecil, she will be teaching in Budapest, Hungary as a Fulbright scholar for 3 months. So that is 3 months in a foreign place doing something very wonderful and exciting. And also that's, you know, they need our prayers for safety, that they things may go well and return safely back to the United States. So are they already there? Okay, so already there, so prayers for safety while they are there, and that they may return safely back. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you in prayer for the church, for the world, and for all in need.
We pray for the church to follow in your ways, that it may be a witness to your love for all people. Help us choose all that is life-giving and confront the forces of death. God of grace,
receive our prayer. We pray for all who are sick, hungry, unhoused, or lonely, especially Doll, Jack, Phyllis, Jack Jr., Dave, for Betty, for Harvey, for Keith, for those on our long-term and homebound assisted living and limited mobility prayer lists, and for those who we name either aloud or in the silence of our heart. May they find healing through your love made known through us, known in us and through those who exercise their vocations in providing care. God of grace,
we pray for First Lutheran Church that we may be united in love and faith, refresh our hearts in Christ, and deepen our support for one another. We pray that our sharing of faith may transform lives in Galleon, Crawford County, and to the ends of the earth. God of grace,
we entrust these prayers to you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer and our Lord. Amen. And I'm going to restart said prayers because I forgot the one. Let us pray. We pray for Amanda and Rhett, that the teaching that they are engaging in may be successful, that their time in Budapest may be safe, and that their return to us may also be safe. We ask that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace. Worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Return to you a portion of what you have given to us. Turn us to set our hearts not on the uncertainties of riches, but on you, who richly provides for us. Multiply what we have gathered to the blessing, to bless all who are suffering and in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. I guess that's good news for us because we are sinners. Jesus welcomes us. Come here, be forgiven, and be restored. All are welcome here.
Thank you.
now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
O God, through this meal, you have strengthened us and appointed us to be your servants. Send us to do good and to share our possessions with all in need. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Few announcements this morning. Most important announcement is please don't come here next Sunday at 10. Please instead go to not exactly the Cardinal Crawford High School, however, it's just a little bit south of Colonel Crawford High School over by the cabin. That is where we will worship. We'll be hosted by St. Paul in North Robinson. They're the Sciota Ridge Boys. I've never heard them.
The Sciota Ridge Boys are playing as part of that worship service. They are a gospel group, a gospel quartet, four men who will do a lot of the music for us during that worship service. They've had them a few other times over the years at St. Paul, and I've heard they are very good. So encourage you to come out and worship with us on that day. And if you have mobility concerns, they handle that with a golf cart, and they allow you to drive your car pretty much all the way up to wherever you would want to sit, and you could just park there if you want. So anyway, I encourage you to join us next Sunday there, and there will be a potluck lunch following. They're providing the table service, some water, and bratwurst for the meal. So anyway, you can read the rest of the announcement in your bulletin. Our community dinner will return to Tuesdays this week at 5 p.m. There's a sign-up sheet. I don't know if there's things still left on it, but if you would like to potentially sign up for that to provide whatever they're asking for, that is on the table in the entryway. And, of course, you are welcome to come join that meal as well. I probably won't get an opportunity to, there's two birthdays next Sunday, and it's like the same day and it's the same last name. I don't understand. Are you guys twins? Anyway, all right. So happy birthday to the Bickert twins. And now I'm floundering, so I'll just wrap this up quickly. It always happens. A tremendous thank you to everyone who contributed to the flood relief through our noisy offering or for other means. Someone sticky noted me right here. We were able to contribute towards flood relief $1,116.92. That is a tremendous amount given for this congregation, so thank you. We will continue now with our noisy offering in this month. It will return back to the Galleon School Lunch Program, which we kind of stepped away from quickly so that we could get money to the flooding relief. So for the month of September, we will be giving to whatever it's called, Galleon School Lunch Program. Good news, we're back in September, so we get to do a council meeting this month. That's on Thursday. Please stay after worship if you are in worship and music. We're going to pick some songs and maybe some hymns that we know for communion, unlike the last two Sundays. And with that, please stand for a blessing. Any other announcements? I think I covered all of them and more. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. of Christ.
We will. Thanks be to God.
Keep going. You go.
Rooted in God, God's word, by trees, by living water.
We will. Thanks be to God.
Carry the cross and follow. You guys can't handle change, can you? Carry the cross and follow where Jesus leads.